Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Mike Reilly Return to Edmonton conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Lucas Barrett. Please go ahead, Mr. Barrett.
Thanks, Eric. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining the call today. So after six seasons with the Green and Gold that include a Grey Cup, Most Outstanding Player Award, and 53 wins as a starter, Mike Reilly returns to Edmonton as a member of the BC Lions on Friday night. With that, I'd like to, we will go straight to Q&A. Eric, if you could just ask the people on the line to the information for a question, that'd be great.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Barrett. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. So the first question is from Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And Mike, thanks so much for your time, as always. You've been probably asked this to death, but what are your thoughts about going back to Edmonton this week?
Yeah, Dan, what's up, man? I appreciate the question. I first want to say I think it's pretty – the most important part is that we have a conference call named after my craziness. But, no, it's certainly not the first time I've been asked that question, but it's to be expected. You know, I spent six great years in Edmonton and enjoyed every minute that I was there, through ups and downs and a lot of life-changing experiences, both on and off the field. Obviously, on the football field, winning a Grey Cup and an MOP and just being a part of six different teams, because it truly is a different team every single year, to the off-the-field changes, being married, you know, in the middle or prior to the 2015 season, and then having both my daughters born in Edmonton during the 16 and 18 seasons, respectively. You know, totally different point in my life back in BC now than I was the first time that I was here. So going back to Edmonton is obviously going to bring back a ton of those memories. It honestly, being this early in the season, doesn't really feel like I've been gone for that long, even though, you know, of course, I've been a part of the BC Lions since February and going through the off season and training camp and now one regular season game. You know, but I'm glad that it's happening early. If it was later in the year, you know, it'd probably be a little bit different experience, but I'm excited to go back again. A lot of great memories in Commonwealth Stadium, pretty much all of them as the home team starter. So hoping to make some great memories as a visiting player now, but, you know, I'm excited to see the guys. I still have a lot of great close friends, both on the coaching staff and on the roster as players there. You know, so it'll be really good to see them, and certainly those are guys that I went through a lot with, and so I'm always excited to get a chance to see them. But once we go into the locker room and come back out for our team warm-ups, all that'll be gone. It'll be all about the game.
And what do you anticipate your reception to be on the weekend?
I mean, I really am not concerned about it, but I'm sure it'll be mixed in the sense of, you know, I think that a lot of the fan base there, you know, knows that it was a great opportunity for me to come here to BC. But at the same time, you know, there's always going to be, you know, that animosity for leaving a team, and I get that. I totally understand it. You know, but yeah, they have a great fan base there, and one that I had the privilege of playing in front of for, you know, over 100 games to wear their colors between regular season and postseason. You know, but I do know that they're passionate about their team, and I expect them to support their team, which always means making it tough on the opposing team. So, you know, I'm sure that a lot of them will be happy and excited to see me. But again, once the ball's kicked off, you know, in terms of their relationship with me, I'm the enemy at that point. So, you know, I'm not too concerned about it, but I am excited to go back and play another game in that building.
Great. Thank you very much.
Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun and Journal. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
I'm good. We'll share a couple of things with you. When you make a move like this, do you actually get out a pen, a piece of paper, and draw the line down the middle of the paper and say pro on one side and con on the other? And if you did, I'm assuming that the location, dollars, history with Ed, maybe opportunity to make a difference with the franchise not drawing fans, and by that extension with the league, all line up on the pro side. But was there a worry at all, or a, kind of an internal debate with yourself about the potential performance of the team and the ability to be Mike Riley going forward?
Well, no, I mean, first part of your question, no, I didn't like physically have a sheet of paper that I wrote that stuff down, but I do know what you're saying. And of course you're, you know, all of those things weigh into your decisions of what are the benefits of staying versus the benefits of going somewhere else. And what are you leaving behind when you turn down an opportunity? If I stay, what opportunities am I giving up in BC to stay in Edmonton? And by the same token, if I leave Edmonton, what opportunities there am I walking away from? And so there was a big list for both sides, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a gut feeling, but it's more of just doing what you know is right for you and for your family. And of course, there was both off the field and on the field things that were taken into consideration for both teams. And, you know, I didn't really feel like there was negatives with either team in terms of the football side of things. You know, I knew Edmonton inside and out extremely well. Obviously, had spent a ton of time with that staff and had spoken with them a ton during the offseason of what I felt like we needed to do to improve as a team, as well as speaking with the front office and talking about personnel changes and adjustments and things like that. And felt very confident that if I stayed in Edmonton that we were going to be a very successful team. You know, I felt like the changes that both the staff and the front office had talked about trying to make were going to be a benefit to Edmonton. And I felt that way whether I was going to be part of that picture or not. I felt like they were definitely on the right track of knowing where we fell short the year before and how to improve and things like that. You know, and then speaking with BC about the on-the-field things, I felt very good about the direction that they were going. You know, speaking with Ed and Devon and Jarius and talking X's and O's and personnel and what the goal was going to be and the strategy of how to get there, you know, I felt very strongly in the positive for both teams. You know, and then, of course, again, I say you weigh the off-the-field things, too. In BC, it's pretty obvious, pretty apparent. You know, the positives in regards to location and proximity to our off-season home and how it was going to change my wife's and my children's lives by being able to be up pretty much every single week, you know, and they weren't going to have to deal with the challenges of trying to load two kids onto a flight, you know, and travel in that regard. It's much different to get into a car and just drive a couple hours. You know, so those were those types of things that I took into consideration. And, there, you know, Edmonton is a great place, and we enjoyed living there, you know, for me, the 6 years that I was there. But for my kids, you know, they loved it being in Edmonton. But, of course, again, like I said, the positives outweighed, you know, in BC's favor versus Edmonton's. And then in terms of being concerned if I was going to be able to be myself, you know, leaving Edmonton, no, I didn't have that concern at all. You know, I do feel like I became the player that I am right now because of my time spent in Edmonton and all of those experiences, not just the coaching staffs that I played for, but also the teammates that I played with, and the ups and downs that we battled through. I knew that this was going to be a different journey over here in BC playing with completely new teammates. You know, there's a handful of guys that I played with before, but for the most part, these guys are all new teammates to me. And with the exception of Jarius, you know, this is an entirely new staff for me. So, of course, there's going to be challenges, but I don't look at those as negatives or something that I'm anxious or nervous about. You know, I feel like all of the experience I've been through up to this point have prepared me to take on the role that I have to take on here. So it's something that once the decision was made that I was going to come here, it's something that I felt very excited about and, of course, still do.
To the day, the garbage bag day, as we call it, when you're cleaning out the locker and everything, and that little bit of a press routine that they do after that.
Mm-hmm.
You went around everybody in that room and shook their hands after that, which didn't really strike me as anything significant at the time, but I don't remember you've ever done that before. And did you know then that you weren't coming back?
No, I can tell you right now with 100% certainty that I did not know that I was not coming back to Edmonton, but it's also the first time in my career that I was going into potential free agency and knowing that there was a chance that I wasn't coming back. Like I said, there was in no way, shape, or form certainty that I would not be back with the green and gold, but there also was not 100% certainty that I would be back. You know, and that's just the nature of the situation of knowing that your contract is going to expire in February, and at that point, you know, the season's already done and over with, and there's really no reason to make a rush decision to re-sign. At that point, I was in the position to know that I could sit back and watch how things were going to develop with my own franchise, Edmonton, at the time, as well as other teams around the league. But no, I mean, we still had a very open dialogue between myself and Brock and Jason, you know, talking about the plans for the upcoming season, you know, and so no, I was not checked out, if you will, at that point. But again, knowing that there's the potential, anytime you're going into free agency, there's the potential that you could end up anywhere. And so, you know, I knew that was a very real possibility, but, you know, my mind was not made up until, you know, late January, early February, long after I had had many discussions with Edmonton, as well as the opportunity to speak to a couple of other teams.
Thank you. The next question is from Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, no worries, man. What's going on?
Just, I'm actually curious. I know it's not so much a CFL question, but what was the Jacksonville Jaguars workout like, and were you surprised that an NFL team was willing to work out a guy that was 34? Not to say that you're an old 34, you're more of a young 34.
And I'm still a baby. What are you talking about, dude? I was surprised in one regard simply because I was not out there soliciting myself trying to get workouts. You know, my agent, Dan Burtlieb, I think a lot of people are well aware of him and the other players around our league and in the NFL that he represents. So he had a lot of clients that he was on the phone for trying to get them workouts with different teams. I was not one of those clients. You know, I didn't tell him at any point that I was interested in going and doing an NFL workout. So I was surprised that they approached us. You know, I don't think that necessarily happens very often. And to be quite honest, at that point, it was like, you know, maybe the second week in December. Generally, I take December and January off. It's all of December and at least parts of January for holidays and family, and start getting back into working out, doing football workouts in January at some point in time. So when I got the call from Dan and said that Jacksonville was interested in working me out, did I want to do it? And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to turn down this opportunity for sure. You know, I would never do that at any point. I think you're always going to want to, you know, at least take the time to go out there and do a workout and kind of, you know, as they say, kick the tires and figure out what it is that they're looking for and interested in. You know, but I hadn't thrown in NFL football since, you know, January 1st or 2nd of 2013 when I was down in Jacksonville doing an NFL workout at that time. So I certainly was not prepared, you know, at the time, but once I got the call and they wanted me to work out pretty quick, it was like 4 or 5 days later. So I said, well, I better start throwing this ball around. So I spent 3 or 4 days throwing an NFL ball. The workout itself was, to be quite honest, exactly what I remembered the NFL workouts being and why I was not interested in calling them to try to get these workouts, because it really is not, it's not something that I really feel like they take all that seriously. You know, they have a ton of funds. They have a ton of money that they can pump into flying guys in and out. So, you know, they're going to leave no stone unturned. But, you know, I'm flying from Seattle. I'm leaving early in the morning. I'm on a ton of flights, you know, to get all the way across the country down into Jacksonville. I'm getting in that evening late at night, having sat on a plane for about 8 or 9 hours, you know, that day, and then getting up super early in the morning, going and doing a bunch of work with the doctors and medicals and things like that, and then sitting in a locker room for about 3 hours, waiting till you go up to throw. Literally, I mean, I think I watched like 2 movies on Netflix just sitting there, and then you go upstairs into their indoor facility, and you literally spend 10 minutes throwing the ball. to a couple of receivers that you've never met before. So I was a little bit surprised by that, to be honest with you, when, you know, you're 34 years old and you have over 100 games of professional football on tape. I think that it should be apparent whether or not you're capable of throwing a football. I thought it was going to be more, let's sit down and talk through the mental side of things and talk about the offenses that you've ran, how do you operate, you know, how do you understand protections and coverages and things like that. That was not the case, you know, and then as soon as your workout's done, about 10 minutes later, you get on a bus and go to the airport, and then they fly you home. So, you know, after that workout was done, I said, yeah, no, I remember why I don't like dealing with these things. I'd rather just, you know, play in a league that I appreciate and I think appreciates me. So it was a great experience. You know, had I turned it down, I probably always would have wondered, man, what would that workout have been like? But once I got there, it was kind of same old, same old.
And that leads me into one of your former teammates, Aaron Rodgers, is going to come up and play a preseason game in Winnipeg. And he was quoted as saying, you know, he still follows the CFL due in large part to Mike Riley having long dominated it. When you hear him say that, what do you think? And do you still keep in touch with Aaron at all?
Yeah, I do keep in touch with Aaron. Actually, he is a big fan of our league, and I think he follows it, not just me, but he follows it in general. I think during the off season, he reached out to me a number of times trying to stay updated on the CBA negotiations and was curious about how all that was going to play out. And generally, every year, I'll get a couple of random messages from him during either prior to or during their training camp where he'll tell me he was flipping through ESPN and saw our game on and watched it and congratulating me on, you know, how the game went or wishing me good luck for the rest of the year and things like that. I know with Cabby a couple of years ago, me and him, Cabby had Aaron on the phone and we kind of did a little deal together. So, you know, I do consider him a friend of mine. He's a guy that I learned a ton from during my time in Green Bay, even though it was pretty short. You know, and I just, I had a great opportunity to watch him live in person and how he operates on the field. And he's a special player. I mean, I think there's nobody that would doubt his abilities, and they're second to none. So, you know, it was somebody that I try to take a little piece from everybody that I've played behind or played with and learn from, and he's a guy that I learned a lot about. But I do know that he definitely has a good appreciation for the Canadian Football League.
And as far as your free agency and the way it went, who came up with the idea for you to be able to talk to other teams before free agency? Was that you and Dan, or was that something that you discussed with Brock in terms of being able to come to a decision that might help them be able to see what was going to happen? Where did that go and how did it happen?
Yeah, that was me and Dan approached the Eskimos about that simply because, you know, they had obviously spent a lot of time, as had I, talking back and forth, trying to, you know, get a clearer picture. You know, during December and January, and then when I met with me and Dan met with Brock in January, I had come to the decision at that point that obviously I knew everything that I was going to know about Edmonton, and there was, like I said in the past, really no negatives that I saw, but what was holding up my decision was knowing there was other opportunities out there and I didn't have any information about them, and I didn't feel comfortable making a decision until I'd had the opportunity to figure out what the other options were. I think that that's just a smart business and career move in general is not to make a decision until you have all the information. And so that's kind of, you know, what I conveyed to Brock. But I also made it perfectly clear that I wanted Edmonton to be in the best position possible because of the respect that I have for Brock and for Jason and for the Edmonton Eskimo franchise. You know, and so I think that after we had talked, it was clear, and, you know, from them, and also I was in agreement that the best thing for Edmonton was to know as soon as possible, because if my decision was going to be to stay in Edmonton, they would know what their cap was and they could start preparing for the free agency period and trying to figure out what pieces that they wanted to bring in. And then on the flip side of things, if I was not going to be back in Edmonton, the worst case scenario was for me to make that decision, you know, within hours or days after free agency opened, because then they would be behind the eight ball. Then the other available free agents would potentially not be there anymore. You know, so me and Dan talked about it and we brought it up to Brock and said, here's the deal, man. we're not going to make a decision until we've had a chance to talk to everybody. I think we all know that the best case scenario for Edmonton is to know the decision as soon as possible and if possible prior to free agency. But the only way that that can happen is if we get permission to speak to the other teams so that we know all of the opportunities that are out there. And so once, you know, we talked to Brock about it, he took a couple of days to think it over, and I think he came to the same agreement as us that, yeah, that would be a benefit to Edmonton, although, of course, you don't want to allow somebody that's still under contract with you to talk to other people if it's going to hurt your chances. But once I made it perfectly clear that I was not going to make a decision one way or the other with Edmonton until I had spoken to everybody else, you know, I think everybody understood that, that it would be for the best interest of everyone to get that done sooner rather than later. And so, you know, like I said, after he had a couple of days to think about it, he contacted us back and said, yeah, okay, let's figure out how to get this done. You know, so yeah, that was me and Dan, I think always, I made it clear to Dan, and Dan was in agreement that regardless of what happened throughout the free agency process, that we wanted to be fair to Edmonton and make sure that we put them in the best position possible. If that meant me coming back, great. But if it didn't mean me coming back, we wanted to make sure ultimately we didn't screw them over.
You and Jason Musser were super tight, playing darts all the time, and it seemed like you had a real strong relationship. What was the discussion like telling Jason that you were going to BC, and was he the most difficult person to leave in Edmonton? And if he wasn't, who was?
Yeah, it was a tough conversation. You know, so basically how that all went down was that, of course, I wasn't going to have a conversation with Jason until the decision was completely final and, you know, and make sure that when I did get to speak with him, that all the cards were on the table and it wasn't playing the game of, okay, well, I think this is what I'm doing. Sorry, I'm not coming back, you know, but I'm not totally sure. We haven't you know, figured everything out and all that. So when I did speak with him, it was finalized in the sense of I knew that I wasn't coming back to Edmonton. There was still, you know, contracts that needed to be signed, of course, and things like that, which couldn't happen until February 12th. But when I did talk to him, I had a great conversation with Jason. Jason's a very good friend of mine. You know, my wife and kids are friends with Marge and his kids. You know, we became very close over 3 years, so it was a hard conversation to have because I was leaving, but it was an easy conversation in the sense of I certainly wasn't gonna lie to him. I have too much respect for him, and so we talked for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. You know, and so he certainly wasn't happy with the decision, but I think he understood it and he respected it. You know, and you know, we're still very good friends. We're on great terms. You know, I came back to Edmonton and in the end of March to do a speaking engagement that I had already committed to, and I, you know, spent, my family came up and we all spent time together. You know, he's a guy that I will always consider a very good friend. But that certainly there's conversations that you have throughout your life that are uncomfortable and you really don't look forward to them. And that was one of them. There's no doubt.
That's all for me for now. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'm sorry, there's one more from Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun and Journal. Please go ahead.
Let's get to the important question here now, Mike.
Okay.
What's involved in your hat selection?
I mean, you know that I have to bring out something special, not just for a road trip, but my first time back in Edmonton. So I don't want to spoil the surprise. I think that it's not just the hat. I think everything is going to look pretty sharp, but I'll let everybody be the judge tomorrow when I get to Commonwealth. I'd love to give you more information other than to say that, you know, I'm happy with the selection. You know, I'm not coming in looking like a guy off the streets coming into Edmonton. I had to make sure that I look good going there. So, you know, and that's always up for debate, right? I think it looks good. Who knows? Everybody else might hate it, but you know, I'm happy with what I got going on.
Okay, one other one is your dad and mom have come up to just about every Eskimo game you've played here, and had every intention of coming up to this game. but there's been a death in the family, I understand. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, actually, they're going to be my grandfather on my mother's side has a funeral. His funeral is Thursday, and so he had been battling some health issues for a while, but actually had been doing pretty good. And it was really unfortunate timing. My grandparents were planning to come up to our home opener. They were pretty excited about that. And then my grandfather got really sick a couple of days before the game. And had to be hospitalized, and he actually passed away on Saturday morning. So they're going to be back in the Tri-Cities to attend his funeral and be with family and all those things. Outside of that, I don't think there would have been anything that could have kept them from going to that game. But, of course, you know, life doesn't always work out how you planned, and it's obviously – the most important thing is for them and for our family to be together during that time.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks, Terry.
The next question is from Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation. Please go ahead.
Well, we got you, Mike. Might as well fire a couple more if you're cool.
Oh, why not? Let's go.
So I'm kind of curious, you know, in the offseason there was a lot of talk about quarterback salaries, and, you know, the Argos were going to offer Bo Levi Mitchell essentially the farm, and Brock kind of intimated that you could write your own check in Edmonton, and obviously you sign a mega CFL deal in BC. You, as a franchise quarterback, do you take into account, you know, the amount of money that you're going to make and what that could potentially, I don't want to say afford you, but how that could work into the cap structure and who else could be around you?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that when you play in a league that has a salary cap, you're not unaware of it. But at the same time, I think that the market sets itself in the sense of, I don't think that GMs, you know, whose job is to build the best team that they possibly can, are going to sit there and put themselves in a spot where they don't think that they can win just to get a player. So the way that it worked out this past year, with me and Bo being free agents, you know, again, in any type of, you know, free market system, it's supply and demand, and there's going to be a value that they're going to put positions and their job. That's what they get paid to do, is to figure out what that value is, what they think they can afford to pay somebody to come in while still managing to keep enough pieces around on the roster to be successful and to be a championship team. So, you know, like I said, I think you're aware of it, of course, but I'm not a general manager, and I don't get paid to figure out what the market value for players is. Other people do. And so certainly, you know, like you said, Toronto is documented as having offered certain values to Bo. BC and Calgary, I think everybody knows what me and Bo are making, but there are other teams, and as you mentioned, Edmonton, that were willing to pay a number. So if there's multiple teams that are willing to pay a certain number, they certainly feel like that's the market value and that they can build a championship team around that. And so I'm not going to argue with that. You know, again, once the time comes down the road, if I become a GM, then that'll be my job to deal with that. But that's not my job. My job is to go out and play quarterback. And you know, so that's the way that I look at it. And I think that any player around the league would and should look at it the same. You know, you're going to try to maximize your own value, but you're also got to have trust in whoever the general manager is for the team that you play on, that they're going to be capable of building a team based on the contracts that they have with the players that they feel like they need to have.
Mm-hmm. When you and Bo signed the extensions with your respective teams at the time, they were timed up to be finished up with the CBA. Did it play out sort of the way that you had envisioned in that respect?
Yes and no. I would say yes, because of once we got towards the tail end of the 2018 season, and I knew that you know, we weren't going to do an extension and we were going to wait till the off season to figure all that kind of stuff out. Then, yeah, I mean, the way that things kind of played out didn't shock me. But I can't say completely that I wasn't surprised, because when I signed the original deal in 2015, I didn't have an expectation to make it to free agency to coincide with the CBA. You know, I figured that I'd have done an extension a year and a half before that, another long-term deal to stay in Edmonton. Like I said, I mean, I had never sat there at any point in my career and went, man, you know, I know 2 years from now my contract ends and I can't wait to hit free agency so I can get out of this place. You know, I loved my time in Edmonton and I never looked down the road with expectations to leave until, you know, the season was done and started looking around at the landscape of things and going, okay, you know, I know there's potential other opportunities, so we need to do our due diligence and look at those and figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more. It's hard to play this game, but hypothetically, you won the Grey Cup with Chris Jones in 2015, and obviously Ed was the GM. If Chris was in Saskatchewan, would that have made their potential pitch any better?
I mean, you said it yourself. It's hard to play hypotheticals, so I'm not really going to get into those. What I can tell you is that, you know, there still is coaching staff there that I'm familiar with and had success with. And I think that Craig Dickinson is a great coach. I think that, you know, he's one of the best people, person, coaches that I've ever met. You know, when you're a special teams coordinator, you have more to worry about than any other coach because you got people from both sides of the ball that have to play for your special teams. You got field goal block, field goal return, kickoff, punt return, punt block, punt return, all these different teams that you're worried about, and you have to figure out how to manage all of that, and you're dealing with players who, majority of them, it's not their primary job. They're a starter on offense or defense, and you still have to make sure that they know what they're doing. You have to command the meeting room and do all those different things, and during the time in Edmonton for 2 years with that coaching staff, watching how Craig operated, I was blown away by that. I thought that he was able to do it better than anybody that I've ever known, and I think that his skill set aligns very well with being a great head coach. You know, so I can't really speak to what would have gone down had there been another staff there. I can just tell you that the staff that they do have there, I think very highly of, but that didn't change my decision because of the opportunity here in BC and how I felt about you know, taking the chance to come out here and play.
And why do you feel that you and Ed became so tight? Was that just him trading for you? And then how did that relationship sort of evolve to the point where you guys have the relationship you do today?
Well, I think it's like anything else in football. You know, it's going through experiences with somebody. You know, you look at the people that I've had success with as teammates in the past, guys like Adarius, you know, Brandon Zylstra, Darrell Walker, guys like that, that doesn't just happen overnight. It happens because you go out there and you practice together all the time and you play a ton of games and you don't sit there and just hit, you know, 10 cross-faced benders like it's no problem right away. It takes throwing a couple of picks in practice or screwing it up a number of times before you really get that experience with that person, then you begin to trust them, you know, and it's no different with your coaching staffs and front offices. So with Ed, I always appreciated, you know, his willingness to take a chance on me as a guy that had started 2 regular season games and to bring me to Edmonton. But more so than that, it was going through the 2013 season, you know, going 4-14. And having weekly conversations with him in his office about how we were going to turn this thing around and what the plan was in the future and how we were going to become a championship team. And going through 2014 and getting close, getting to the West Final and having a broken foot and trying to play on that and going through that that roller coaster. And then 2015, having my knee blown out in the season opener, you know, and having conversations with him multiple times a week, you know, about the team that we had and how we were going to win a championship that year, and then celebrating, you know, on the field with all the confetti flying down and finding him on the field and just talking with him about, man, this is what all this work was for over the 3 previous years, was to get to that point. So I think once you go through all of those ups and downs with somebody and you reach that ultimate, that pinnacle, that championship, that creates a relationship that is really hard to duplicate and hard to replace. So, you know, I think it was all of those experiences combined, to be honest.
Cool. thanks for your candor, Mike, and your time, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Barrett.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the call today, and a special thanks for Mike for giving up his time to have a chat with us today. Just a reminder, week two of the CFL season begins tomorrow when Saskatchewan takes on Ottawa at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by Friday Night Football with BC visiting Edmonton at 9 o'clock. Thanks again, everybody.